When was the last time someone truly listened to you? Not the polite nodding while checking a phone, but genuine, undivided attention that made you feel seen and understood? We're experiencing a listening crisis that cuts across every aspect of modern life. Despite our hyper-connected world, nearly half of Americans report lacking meaningful daily conversations. The average person spends less than 10 minutes per day in face-to-face conversation while spending over 3 hours on social media. Our educational system reinforces speaking skills through debate teams and public speaking courses, but offers virtually no training in listening. This deficit begins early. From childhood, we associate "listen to me" with unpleasant directives. Media normalizes shouting matches rather than thoughtful dialogue. When asked who listens to you, most people pause uncomfortably before naming only one or two individuals, typically a spouse or close family member. Others admit to paying therapists or hairdressers simply to be heard. Many consider it burdensome to ask friends to listen to anything meaningful beyond social pleasantries. The cost extends beyond personal relationships. In healthcare, doctors interrupt patients within 11 seconds on average, leading to misdiagnoses. In education, students retain only 25% of what they hear. In workplaces, employees who feel heard are 4.6 times more likely to perform their best work, yet only 30% feel their voices matter. When we truly listen, our brains synchronize with the speakers in neural synchrony, creating those meaningful snatches of magic that define genuine connection. This synchronization engages multiple brain regions. Wernicke's area processes language, while other regions interpret emotions, expressions, and body language. The right hemisphere handles emotions, while the left processes linguistic information, explaining why someone might understand your words but miss your meaning. Our brains process speech at 120 to 150 words per minute, but think at 400 to 500 words per minute. This speech-thought differential creates a fundamental listening challenge. Good listeners use this excess capacity for processing nuance rather than planning responses. The highest form of listening involves curiosity rather than judgment. When we listen with genuine interest, instead of waiting to insert our opinion, we create space for authentic connection. Unlike our eyes with lids, our ears remain perpetually open, suggesting listening is essential to our survival as social creatures. The best listeners share one fundamental trait: genuine curiosity about others. Former CIA interrogator Barry McManus leveraged this quality to get a Pakistani nuclear scientist to admit meeting Osama bin Laden, creating trust through open-ended questions that led to unexpected revelations. While we instinctively avoid uncertainty in favor of routines, uncertainty and novelty actually make us feel most alive. University of Chicago research demonstrates that people who engage with strangers during commutes feel happier despite fears of rejection. Train commuters who initiated conversations reported a 67% more pleasant journey than those who remained silent. Curious people listen well because they genuinely want to understand, connect, and grow. As novelist Elizabeth Strout observes, people are always telling you who they are if you just pay attention. Cultivating curiosity means approaching conversations with a beginner's mind, asking questions without predetermined answers, and remaining open to surprise. Counterintuitively, we often listen worse to people closest to us. Harvard sociologist Mario Louise Small found people frequently confide pressing concerns to acquaintances rather than intimate partners, fearing judgment from those they're closest to. In long-term relationships, we develop mental shortcuts about our partners, what psychologists call assumed similarity. We think we know what they'll say, so we stop truly listening. As psychologist Judith Koch notes, people stop being curious about each other. Even after decades together, complete understanding remains elusive. We make similar assumptions about strangers based on categories like gender, profession, or political affiliation, creating selective listening patterns that confirm our preconceptions. This assumption trap is especially dangerous because it's invisible. We don't realize we're filling gaps with our own projections rather than hearing what's actually being said. Breaking free requires humility to recognize that people, even those we've known for decades, can still surprise us. Responding effectively requires more than platitudes or making the conversation about yourself. When someone shares difficult news, like losing a job, generic responses like, "I'm sorry," or "you'll find another job," feel dismissive. Well, when I got laid off, shifts focus to yourself. Research shows people feel most understood when listeners provide thoughtful, interpretive responses rather than just nodding or offering quick solutions. Good listening means detecting what matters emotionally beneath words, what psychologists call emotional attunement. Understanding the meaning behind someone's words is crucial, like recognizing whether a coworker mentioning an office move indicates excitement, anxiety, or sadness. Former FBI hostage negotiator Gary Noesner describes listening as understanding two concentric circles, facts inside, surrounded by more important feelings and emotions. In one standoff, simply acknowledging a perpetrator's sense of injustice led to peaceful resolution. Instead of "you'll be fine" or "that happened to me too," try "that sounds really challenging. What's been the hardest part?" Other powerful responses include, "help me understand more about," and "what does this mean for you?" Questions that demonstrate engagement while inviting deeper sharing. Our brain interprets opposing viewpoints as threats. Harvard Law professor Gillian Todd teaches students to maintain curiosity during negotiations, though many fear understanding opposing views might weaken their positions. fMRI scans confirm this. Challenged beliefs activate the same brain regions as physical threats. This explains our deteriorating political discourse. College students increasingly support silencing disagreeable speakers, politicians reject opponents' proposals outright, and social media creates insular realities. Pew Research found that over half of Democrats and nearly half of Republicans fear the opposing party. The solution is curiosity instead of hostility. When defensive, ask questions to understand others' reasoning rather than seeking flaws. Ralph Nichols suggested listening for evidence you might be wrong instead of undermining arguments, engaging higher-order thinking, and reducing amygdala activity. John Keats called the ability to exist comfortably with uncertainty negative capability, essential to good listening. Psychologists term this cognitive complexity, which correlates with self-compassion and creativity while reducing dogmatism. Listening is an ethical act, demonstrating respect and acknowledging others' humanity. Philosopher Immanuel Levinas saw it as recognition of shared vulnerability that imposes an ethical duty. When self-promotion trumps listening, genuine connection is sacrificed. People typically regret not listening rather than listening, a sweet spot for regret since it's controllable yet irreversible once missed. Father Jorge Gomez notes we're experiencing a crisis of listening, where people desperately need someone to hear them, reflecting our fundamental human need to be heard. Though often viewed as talking's passive counterpart, listening is actually more powerful. It's how we learn truth and detect deception. Being a good listener doesn't mean enduring foolishness indefinitely. It helps identify it and prevents becoming foolish ourselves. In our frenetic culture, listening requires slowing down, yet it's the only path to what we truly desire, understanding and being understood. True connection lies not in being heard, but in truly hearing others.